We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday, Brevard County. We're here again on 91.5 WMIE. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and you're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. And so we want to take this opportunity to invite you out to our midweek service tomorrow night. Our kids program starts at 6:30, 6:30 to 7:45, and our adult service begins at 7 o'clock and goes 7:45. We've got our kids that we provide food for, that starts at 6, and we want to say thank you to all the people at Merritt Assembly of God. They literally prepare these meals out of their own food budget, and so they take turns, they rotate, they come in, and they bring and they feed, you know, 20 to 30 people in a growing youth ministry, and we're just so thankful for their loving on kids. I recently heard of a church where they had begun reaching out to kids, and the adults didn't want to do that. They actually created hostility in the church because of an outreach that was going on to younger people. And I'm sad that that happened there, but I'm thankful for the people at Merritt Assembly of God that that is not the heart that they have. If you're looking for children who can be around people who love Jesus, who've had background checks, who will sow into their life, I want to invite you to our growing youth and children's ministries. There's exciting things that are taking place there. By the way, our youth meeting this week will be also on Friday night at 6:30, Merritt Assembly of God. It'll be our last Friday night, twice a month meeting, beginning on the 16th. That is moving to a Sunday night. So come and be a part of that. Verse number 3, we're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 42 today. Isaiah chapter 42, verse number 3. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praises, and his praise from the ends of the earth. We're going to stop the reading right there. On yesterday's broadcast, we were talking about this messianic chapter in Isaiah 42. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Justice is a large theme in this. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will bring forth justice for truth. And I want you to know that Jesus is not an unjust God. He's very much concerned about justice, not just for you, but for all people. The first time that justice is mentioned in this passage, it is talked about he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Here in this passage, it's talking about Jesus ministering, and it says he will bring forth justice for truth. Okay. Now, here in America, because everyone has an opinion, I want to say this very carefully. Everyone has an opinion, but not everyone's opinion carries the same weight. Now, I'm going to put that in a practical application for you so that you can help understand. If I have an opinion on what needs to take place in the economy, that opinion doesn't necessarily hold the same weight or deserve the same attention as what a leading economist's opinion might have to say about that. It took me a long time in ministry to realize that your expertise in an area, your experience in an area, all of those things matter. And so when people would come up and say things to me, because I am a person that really doesn't enjoy confrontation. I've taken personality profiles and they say, you don't really enjoy confrontation. On the same hand, I have people that tell me you're a lot more confrontational than what I am. It doesn't mean that I can't do it. It just means that I don't necessarily like to do it. But my original personality was that of an introvert that didn't like confrontation, and I was always trying to please people. I want you to know that now my goal, my highest goal, is to be pleasing in God's sight, not to be pleasing in man's sight. You see, I have tried the pleasing men's side, and I found that if you please them today, you might not be able to please them tomorrow, and if you don't please them tomorrow, then they won't be with you the day after that. And so it was a vicious, frustrating cycle, and so I have come to the conclusion that I'm better off pleasing somebody who's never going to leave me and never going to forsake me. So people would say things to me, and initially when I first got involved in ministry, I would try and do what they wanted to because I was trying to please them. My wife pretty much had the same mindset. She had a situation where her boss gave her a directive. A person that was also under that same boss came and said, you know, don't do it that way, do it this other way. And he had a more forceful personality. And so because she didn't want to create a confrontation, she did it the way that he wanted to. And that ended up with a conversation with the boss. And the boss said, now, I understand the background. I understand your personality. I understand the person that just told you what to do. I understand their personality. And so I just need to know if you are willing to accept my directives, if I speak to you in a calm, still voice, or if you are only going to respond to the loudest voice in the room. Because if that's the only way you can respond, then I will become the loudest voice in the room. She said, you know what? I think I have this. You see, if you're just constantly going around the same vicious circle and you're like a dog chasing its tail and you never learn anything, then you're not going to get very far. You say, what does this have to do with he will bring forth justice for truth? There are a huge percentage of people right now, well, maybe not a huge percentage, but a large number of very vocal people who are claiming that the truths in God's word do not represent justice. They put different meaning or different words or different labels on it. They would call it bigotry. They would call it hatred. They would call it this type of phobia or that type of phobia. And I want you to know that it is actually the word of God is not flawed in any of those areas. You see, my job is to tell people this: all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul, who wrote that, said, I am the chiefest of sinners. It is not a label that is demeaning to you and edifying to me. It is a universal truth of God's word that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It would be unjust for some people to get preferential treatment and others not to get that preferential treatment. That would be unjust. God said that it is appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment, that there is only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. He is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. It is necessary for all men everywhere to repent. Do you see the universal sin problem, the universal application, the universal destination for an eternity separated from God that applies to us all? That's the problem. That is the way. You see, the devil will try and get you to compromise the word of God, and then he will tell you God doesn't want to have anything to do with you because you've compromised, and nothing could be further from the truth. You see, those were the conditions. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus came not to compromise justice, but to give himself as a ransom for us. So here's the reality. If you are a murderer, the only way that you can be forgiven of that is through Jesus Christ, accepting him as your Lord and Savior, asking him to be the Lord of your life, asking him to help you, not just on a superficial level. It is more than being washed in the blood. It is the blood being your very life, the DNA of Jesus flowing through your veins, transforming our nature to where we better represent him than we ever have before, so that when people see us, they see the reflection of Jesus shining in their reality. That is what each and every one of us has available to us through Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. It is available to everyone. So if you're a murderer, you need the grace of God. You need to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. It's the only way you're getting into heaven. If you're an adulterer, like David was, the only way that you get into heaven is to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life and help you to live in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable in his sight. Moses was a murderer. David was a murderer. There is hope. The Bible is filled with a lot of different things that are displeasing in God's sight. Lying. Listen, it says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Why do we want to glorify deception? Deception is the native tongue of hell. Satan is the original liar. It is when he speaks it, he is speaking his own native language because he's the father of it. Why do I want to duplicate the devil's characteristics and expect that I'm going to get rewarded by the Heavenly Father? I need a transformation. I need to be forgiven. So can God transform a liar into a person of truth? Absolutely. Absolutely. I've said it before. I'll say it again. And that is this. When we were raising our children, lying was the worst thing that they could do. Was there a level of correction? If one of them was picking on their brother or sister and, then we found out about it. Yeah, but that wasn't the maximum. The maximum was if you were lying. Now, here is what society has done. Society says, when I tell you this, I am telling you the truth. I had a person tell me this. They said, if a person truly believes something that they're saying, they're not lying. I want you to know that if it's not the truth, it's lying, period. The principle that this world operates by now is this idea of compartmentalization, where you can go to church on one on Sunday, you can lift your hands, you can raise your voice, you can go through all of the motions, and then you can walk out, go to work on Monday, and not live in agreement with any of the principles that you just were exposed to on Monday. And the society, it says, because we live in this compartmentalized mindset, that there's nothing wrong with that. That's why you can hear politicians say that they're Christian, and yet in their political compartment, everything they stand for is in contrast to the Word of God. I've got news for you. The only solution for that, and whether you're a teenager and you're trying to tell your parents what they want to hear, not necessarily what the truth is, or whether you're a politician, the only way that we get forgiven for that, the only way we get delivered, is asking Jesus to be the Lord of our life. Now, I will tell you, I don't say this to puff myself up. I really don't consider myself to be as close to God as what I would like to be. I still see miles to go. I'm looking forward to the journey where God just continues to develop in me. But I tell you what, I have learned a lot more through the years than what I had when I first started. And I thank God that I'm still on the journey. I also realize that this journey with God is not necessarily all that mystical. It is about practical application in our lives. I'm very much into worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I am very much into operating in the spiritual gifts. I just also believe that those spiritual gifts are going to have practical applications in our life. I don't think it's about swinging from the chandeliers. I think it is about touching and transforming people's lives for the glory of God, for their lives to be saved, their broken bodies to be healed, their marriages to be restored, and them placed on the path that will enable them to fulfill God's purpose in their life. That's what I believe. And so when my kids were growing up, God would say things, and you could talk to them, and if they were going through something, without me even knowing that I was dealing with an issue in my kids' lives, what would happen is I was doing youth ministry, and I found out about this later. I'd preach a message that God laid upon my heart, and there would be kids in the youth group saying, "How did he know what I was doing?" I said, "I didn't know what you were doing. I just preached the message that God laid upon my heart. The Holy Spirit's the one that knows what you are doing." And guess what? That's not just for kids. That's for adults. You see, now I pastor adults. And here's what I found, that there's a lot of adults that think that just because they have the keys to the house and they can turn the lights off and nobody can see what they're doing on their computer or anything like that, they think that nobody's knowing. But I need to remind you about the headlines that take place in the world. And that is, hackers can get into things that you and I would think they couldn't get into. So they can find out your viewing history. They can find out your web page history. In fact, you know, what I notice is when I go to my news websites, is that things that I have searched for on the internet, we do some e-shopping for church supplies. And the next thing I know, I'm getting all sorts of ads. If I try and book a hotel room for a conference that we're going to, all of a sudden that hotel chain's ads are popping up all over my computer screen. And then when I was looking at a website the other day, across the underneath the top of the news site that I was looking at was a list of all of the searches that I had done in the past few weeks. So when I was preaching on the life is in the blood here a few weeks ago, I looked up there and it said the life is in the blood because I was looking for information on there. I try and present the word of God and I try and represent the word of God well. I don't want to sound like an idiot when I am talking about the word of God. God will bring justice. It says he will bring justice for truth. So I started off by saying, you know, not everybody's opinion is the same. The justice for truth is that everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And every human being on the planet deserves the justice of hearing that there is a way that their sins can be forgiven. And that is through the work and ministry of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so, please do not insult me by accusing me of hating you if I'm simply presenting you with the opportunity to have your sins forgiven. You know, my wife did not grow up with a lot of pets. We grew up with pets, and my kids eventually wanted pets. And one of the things that we've happened is that when you've had a pet, the longer you've had it, the more attached you become to it. And when you are separated from that pet, it causes a great deal of emotional outpouring. You know, if the pet dies, there's an extreme emotional strain. And the same is true when we have that pet sin that we say, come here, and we treat it like a lap dog, and we nurture it and we protect it and we pour our love and affection on it. And then if somebody comes and tells us that you do know that pet that you have in your lap is not a dog and it's not a cat, it's actually a crocodile, and it's eating you alive. Well, why would you insult my pet like that? I remember seeing a news story of a family in California. They actually had a pet caiman, which is related to the alligator and the crocodile. It's from South and Central America. And they had a pet caiman, and they were upset because the caiman came and it ate their pet dog. How dare that pet? Let me tell you, sin is not your pet. And it doesn't matter whether it's pride or whether it's envy or coveting or jealousy or stealing or murder or sexual sin or financial sin or spiritual adultery. It doesn't matter what any of those sins are. The only way that they can be forgiven is through the work that Jesus did. And so when Jesus came, he was preaching forgiveness. He was preaching receiving forgiveness and extending forgiveness. When John the Baptist came, he preached to tax collectors the changes that they needed to make in their life. He preached to the people the changes that they needed to make in their life. To the soldiers, the way that they needed to be operating in their life. And the only people who didn't respond were the people in religious leadership. They didn't respond to the ministry of John on a large scale basis. Some did, but it was very few. And they didn't respond to the ministry of Jesus or John the Baptist the way that he did. And then they took up this mindset. They became an obstacle to the people trying to get in. Okay? So in 2016, we have people who have their pet sins and they don't want to repent of them. and they become militant at this point in time. They declare the gospel hate speech, the Bible hate speech. They declare that we've got to change the laws of the land in order to accommodate this pet sin that they have in favor, and then somebody else's pet sin is slightly different than that, so we've got to extend that. And instead of confronting people with the loving grace of Jesus Christ, we have to accommodate them. Okay? Now, here's the thing. I love you so much to present you with the opportunity to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin and be the Lord of your life. But you're a grown-up. You're an adult. I'm not trying to make you. I'm trying to convince you. I'm not trying to coerce you or force you or compel you. I'm here to saying justice is available in the truth of God's word and in his son, Jesus Christ. How are you going to respond to his invitation? I think it would surprise people to understand what the Bible actually says as it talks about the end time reality let me see if I can find it out of Revelation, because it says that let him who can, you know, if there's anybody who's doing this, let him continue to do that. I don't know if I'm going to find it, but I do know this. Let me just show you verse 14. This is Revelation 22. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Let me see if I can find it. It says, oh, here it is. It's just the verses right before that. Verse number 9, then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. You see, the option is available. The devil will try and convince you have no options. This is who you are. There's no hope for deliverance. Your dad was an alcoholic. Your mom was an alcoholic. Your grandparents was an alcoholic. And you are therefore destined to be an alcoholic and all your descendants after you. God says you can break that chain today. Make the choice today. Don't believe the lie. Believe the truth and allow Jesus to work in your life. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.